So we have this precious theme of delight and joy and tranquility and happiness and eventually that collectedness, that concentration. So I thought I'd start with one of my poems here, and then we'll see where we go from there. It's always an adventure, somehow. Ultimate ease. High on this mountainside of self, a river of ice, slowly melting by this calm and centered attention. Rocks and boulders captured, frozen by time's habits of fears and desires, this practice practiced over and over again. Ice to water, water to flowing, flowing to ease, ease to other utter clarity. This flow has no reference point, and mind, released, sits as a simple awareness, knowing the centerless center as it flows towards its own destiny. We came knowing that frozen heart, contracted mind, had no peace in a changing world, so we have to surrender over and over again. This small glimpse of the wonders of delight and joy. Surely, surely we have found it. It's already here. So to really talk about these really simple principles, you have to first, I kind of imagined how I would do this today, and I thought, oh, you know what? We'll build it as a mandala. And the mandala is, we have this, your beingness kind of sits in the center with kind of mind and heart and body. And when we first come to this, we're really in a world of distractions. And traditionally, you know, and they kind of squeeze in on us. And you'll probably recognize they're usually referred to as the hindrances. So I thought I'd just go around them because they're the thing that really, in some ways, particularly the first day, kind of captures us for little bits of time. And then we'll get more into when it's possible, when these things kind of move out. But they come in, they're pretty close in the beginning. You know, and the first of these is simply the five, which are, you know, simply, you could just call it sensual desire, you know, that that longing or wanting mind, sometimes, somehow, maybe this place, this time, it isn't enough. And so we kind of seek out. Sometimes it's, you know, stories, sometimes it's memories. Sometimes it's pleasantness that arises in the body. And so, again, it just comes and visits. These are just visitors that come. And at first, they're really close, you know, particularly like this first day. They're not so far away. And so that's the first of these. And the second one is simply aversion, you know. And again, that we're so reactive even the greatest everything. We have this amazing propensity to kind of react to the smallest matter, and then we kind of create some kind of feeling, story of, again, sometimes of just pushing it away. And you know, and in that is sometimes self-criticism. There's an amazing thing called judgment, you know, that we prance around in. And again, they are just states that come and visit for a little while. And then one of the other kind of components of this is, and it's particularly, you know, those two, desire and aversion, we're always playing with those, you know, because it's really dealing with our attraction and capturing of trying to capture pleasantness and trying to avert, to move away from, or push away, or get rid of uncomfortable feelings. You know, we're kind of doing this play all the time. Now, in the practice here, there's some other kind of fundamentals in this kind of mandala that's encircling us. The third one of these is simply, they refer to it as sloth and torpor. And I have to first, it's really hard coming into retreat. You know, I think I've been back now 2 weeks from Asia, and this is a pretty busy place. You know, there's a lot going on. And I think with that comes sometimes this underneath kind of reactivity that at least I see this in myself, and it kind of tires you out, you know. So you come, you go, oh, I'm really going to just sit here and I'm going to, you know, concentrate. I'm going to get my mind all settled. And what happens? Next thing you know, you're just kind of nodding off. You know, so first part of that is the fact that I think as a society, we don't probably sleep enough. And also, there's a lot of tension that is, I think it's just in the kind of social structure, you know. And with that, that kind of, you know, stress that a lot of times... we come here and it's, in some ways, it's such a relief. We just conk out, you know, and I think it's okay. I don't think it's a bad thing because sometimes we just have to kind of feel it and catch up a little. So that's one aspect of it. But another aspect of it is, you know, even when you get rested, a lot of times there's simply the tiredness comes from resistance. We just, you know, you don't want to be here or, you know, a lot of kind of wanting that comes up that's not, it's really, in some ways, it's not about here, you know. And it comes, and what is our reaction to that? We just conk out, you know. It's just, it's almost like the system kind of just spaces out or resists. Or simply nods off, you know. So these are just states that come. They're not, they're visitors only, you know. And then the fourth of these is restlessness, and also we put in that worry, which is another kind of stressor, and we're very influenced and attracted to in some ways. So first, you know, there's restlessness of the body. And I think sometimes somewhat it's just karmic. It's just, you know, the body sits there and just jitters on you, you know? And it's actually quite uncomfortable. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to sit there and be really quiet. And what happens, you know? Next thing you know, you're just, the body's kind of doing its own dance or something, you know, and it's not what you want. And so that kind of physical restlessness it's disconcerting. And again, it's just one of the visitors comes, and when we first come here, these things are kind of close, you know. And then there's one called worry. You've heard of this one, you know, and I think it's something about tomorrow or next year or something. It's about the future on some level, and it particularly helpful in the middle of the night when you wake up and you go, oh, you know, I should have done that, or I need to do this, or, you know, and then we kind of lock into it, and then it is a hindrance, which then kind of grabs you. And you know, it's interesting because it's real, all it is if you look really closely at it, besides the kind of the physical feeling of it, it's just a string of words in the mind that somehow in the middle of the night they get pretty distorted, you know. And again, this is just visitors. They come and kind of hang on for a little while and then, you know, subside. And then the last one is in this mandala, traditionally in the practice itself, is doubt. And this is not so much, you know, sometimes I think, oh, it's true that there's kind of a big doubt that kind of doubts, who am I? How is this all? And that's not the doubt I'm talking about. The doubt here I'm talking about is doubt. Can I do this? Is this, you know, maybe I came to the wrong retreat, you know? Or, you know, maybe next week or next year or something, you know, but there's this sense of, which is very kind of paralyzing, that I can't do it. This is, you know, not possible. And again, it's also kind of like where it's a kind of just a string of words that, and somehow, it's very difficult sometimes when because it doesn't allow you to be where you are, you know. There's just no way that you can trust that somehow this whole process is enough, you know. So these are kind of the ring around us when we first come, you know, and they are simply visitors. And I'm not saying that they won't, just because, you know, you get here and then they're quite insidious. You know, you think, oh, I'm kind of settled down and everything. And then out of nowhere, you know, one of these visitors comes and says, oh, I've just taken over your practice, you know. And this is really where you have to recognize that, you know, the other thing about them is they're quite impermanent, you know. They arise due to the causes and conditions. Also, when we, in a sense, kind of feel through it or see through it, then they have a tendency to move away. Now, the practice is, in essence, really simple, you know? It's just kind of putting your attention here, finding an object. And the Buddha simply kind of named the breath as a simple object to place our attention on. And so our practice is we just simply place our attention there. And unfortunately, the body, these hindrances come and visit us. But as we keep sitting there, and we start again kind of directing our attention over and over again to really what it is being here. And what happens is we kind of settle ourselves in a sense of being here somewhat and get, you know, instead of discomfort, there's kind of a comfort. I used the language this morning. I kind of love the fact that the earth, just becoming aware of the earth and body, that when we kind of acknowledge that somehow we're on the earth and the earth is stable, you know, I know it's maybe not always so stable, but especially Bay Area, but really in the sense of the body and the connection, you know. And a lot of this in the beginning ways of kind of letting this mandala, instead of being tight, kind of move out, is to find that contact. You know, oh, I feel my body, I feel the earth, and that the earth, I recognize something about the earth, that it is supporting me. And whether you want to call it gravity or whatever, but the truth is, as an experience, it is holding you, you know, and recognizing it holding you, then there's one of the primal factors of kind of getting into the practice itself is actually to feel safe. You know, oh, you know, when I make that contact, between body and earth, there's a kind of a relaxing and a sense of it's enough, and there's a part of the mind that's, and heart that simply says, oh, I'm safe. And then when it recognizes that safety, which is imperative in these practices, when it's not there, sometimes we call it multiple hindrance attack. You know, it comes and kind of grabs us completely, you know, particularly the doubt, the self-doubt part. But when we have that connection and recognize that that we are being held, you know, and so there's a sense of, to me, it's so much of it is just suddenly the belly relaxes. And the belly relaxes. And then it actually is able to not struggle with itself or fight with itself. It begins to recognize that first those hindrances, they've moved out. They're no longer in a tight circle, but have moved away. And the mandala suddenly has become much bigger. I'm not saying, you know, it goes away. But from the principles of the practice then, that sense of safety, a sense of ease, then begins to be recognized. You know. Story. I'm kind of an anxious person. You know, this is why I do this stuff, you know. And I love to travel, and but I had this incident. It was very, it was kind of revealing to me about myself. And I was in the airport in Denpasar, which is in Bali, on the island in Indonesia, about a month ago. And I always get kind of anxious going to airports. Like I always have to be there early, you know. I mean, really early, and. It's just, you know, maybe I've carried it since I was quite young. And so there's all the thing going through all the lines and everything. And so you finally get through and, you know, suddenly whew, you're kind of, you know, in the main part of the airport. And it's been, what, about 2 years since they built this new airport in Denpasar. And the one before was really funky. And now it's really fancy. And I went in and so I ordered some food and... the thing that's interesting about this is that, you know, $1 is 13,200 rupiah, okay? 13,200 rupiah. So you have these incredible notes. You have no idea what you're dealing with on some level, you know? And so I went and ordered the stuff, and I handed the lady, I think, 50,000. And my stuff, I don't know, was 24 something or something like that. And she handed me back 5,000. And I didn't really think about it at the moment. And I took my tray over and put it down. And then I went, you know what? She just shorted me, you know? And I went back and she just, you know, it was a really interesting thing because I thought first, you know, are you upset about this? I said, no, I'm not upset about it, but I want to make sure this is straight, you know? And so I went back and I stood there and she just kept ignoring me, you know, the person after person, you know. And then I mentioned to her a couple of times. And it was and finally she gave me the 20,000, you know, which is about $5 or something like that, you know. But it was, for me, it was like, oh, she has, because people don't understand the huge numbers there, it's kind of easy to, you know, you know what I mean? Especially when you're, you know, you're in an airport and you're kind of tight and everything, it's pretty easy. And it was really revealing to me because it was like I had a choice, you know. I didn't get angry, I didn't, but I was persistent because I felt like, oh, if I didn't do this, then and kind of put it in her face somehow. That's why I just kept staying there, you know. It's like, okay, I'm going to use patience, you know, to kind of stay until she kind of surrendered, actually, is what happened. You know, she didn't want to, you know. And but I thought, oh, all the people that come through there, this is, you know, she needs to learn this, and I need to not react, you know? And really, the fundamentals of the practice is, oh, can I keep those hindrances? In this case, it was really something between aversion and righteousness, you know? Because that's kind of what we do, you know? And so I had to really kind of hold myself and recognize, you know, that I had the power to not go there, you know? And so I just stood there. I must have stood there for about 5 minutes and people went by and I said, hello. But it's a lesson, you know, in the sense that we have this power I mean, still, in this case, I felt like I was doing something that was important and not given to it and not react to it, you know. So it was really a good lesson for me, you know. I know it maybe sounds silly, but it was really what this practice has taught me in the sense of, you know, it's so easy with judgment and, righteousness. You know, I know that coming back to this country and the politics and everything going on here, my God, you know, it's an interesting place, you know. I was being nice. But the truth is, you know, when those hindrances, when if you can kind of work with them and deal with them, not just here, but to me, so much of life is these things come in and you know, and somehow these are hooks. They kind of pull us away from this, from sitting in the center of ourselves, you know, in the center of the mandala. And the practices here is first is if you'll just sit here for a while, those things will, they'll kind of pull away and there'll suddenly be space. And that space then has this a possibility of where, you know, the first piece is delight. And delight to me is when they don't show up. You know, I've created the space for things to have settled down. And it's delight, you know, it's like, oh, look at, and I think another piece of delight to me has been, over and over again, has been this word renunciation, you know, really important, you know. And we come here and we've renounced just showing up here, you know, all the options you had. We narrow all the options down. And by narrowing the options down, we actually, first of all, we somewhat ignite the hindrances. They kind of tighten. We have to see them and kind of, in some ways, it come to terms, you know, like, oh, I know you. I see you. You know, there you are. Desire. Oh, wow. Look how intriguing and powerful you are and how much you take me away from sitting in the center of myself. So there has to be this piece of renunciation that's there. And with that, then the ability, you know, I like this word, bamboozled. You know this word, bamboozled? Yeah. Not be bamboozled by the, you know, we're so good at kind of telling stories and, here, you know, when you can't talk to anybody, then what happens is you just ignite kind of what's right under the surface, you know, it kind of comes up and comes to say hello. And in some ways can entrap us on some level. But at the same time, if we simply, you know, this is the whole practice. If we simply, we see it for what it is, We kind of, and sometimes, you know, it's there's a lot of different feelings and stuff that go with them, is that we keep letting go of it. And then we come back to where the mind and the heart and the body are centered in some way. And so, to me, when that, when there's nothing bothering, nothing disturbing, and I'm not going to say it's going to be like this all the time, but there are moments, and the whole idea here is to begin recognizing when nothing is, and it's kind of weird, when nothing is happening, we're just simply with the breath, we're simply kind of lined up in heart and body, that there is this delight in not being bothered, not being disturbed by things, you know? And with that not being disturbed, there is actually physical and mental sense of wholeness. You know, oh, you know, I'm just kind of sitting in the center of this and I'm not being fooled. Thoughts will come, different sensations will come. But I keep, you know, in a sense, I in my own mind, I do a lot of bowing. I like bowing. Yeah, it's one of the things I kind of love. And but I'm not bowing to anything particularly. It's really, in a sense, it's bowing to this process of letting go, you know. So I do it in my mind sometimes when I get kind of things come in and attract me and hold me. And in my own mind, I kind of bow to it and go, oh, thank you. You know, you're my teacher right now. And I let go of it. And then when I let go of it, there's a moment there. There's a moment when I let go that's not involved in anything, you know. And in that moment when it's not involved with anything, a lot of times we skip over that. You know, we're kind of problem solvers or whatever. And so when that moment is there, which is really, in some sense, it's kind of interesting, because what we understand is that if it has a charge, you know, whether it's positive or negative, we're interested in it. But when we've kind of let go for a moment, then there is a moment where there's just space. There's nothing there, you know. And the principles of these teachings is that we don't notice that. And so the thing, it has to somewhat be pointed out to you that that moment, just after you let go, is a moment that even though it's not something, it allows this huge space. And even though it's just a moment, that space then has this capacity, because you've kind of let go, you've released, you know, and I think the word delight, and particularly in the first beginnings of this, there's delight. There's also a word called wonder, you know. It's like, oh, wow, you know, I'm not holding this stuff anymore. And if I'm not holding it, and I've kind of let it go for a moment, and I see the relevance of, you know, I could say, no thing, you know, that moment, and realize that, oh, that actually nourishes me. You know, there's something incredibly poignant, and, you know, it's where I would use the word delight. It's like, oh, I've just taught myself a little bit how to do this. It's interesting in the, I was thinking, I have a friend, Bhante Rahula. I don't know if any of you know him. He's been teaching for years and years, but in the summers for the last 10 years or so, not these last two summers, but I would go to a self-retreat in Ladakh, India, in northern India. It's really Little Tibet, you know, and you fly up to 11.5, and I've had some heart stuff, so I can't go up there anymore. I'm very sad. But my friend Bhante Rahula would be up there, and I'd be in the retreat, and he was so easy, you know? And I always think of his, he wrote a book called One Night's Shelter. It's a bit shocking, you know? It was easy in the 60s because, you know, I kind of came from Berkeley and flew to London and hitchhiked through Europe and then overland to India. I got a little stuck in Afghanistan, but overland. And I went right to India, New Delhi. The first day, I met this nun, Frida Beatty, who was really the first kind of Western nun that the Dalai Lama had ordained. And she kind of set me on my journey. Well, my friend, Bhante Rahula, he's been a monk for about 30 years, and took him 3 trips from L.A., surfer boy, you know, and high adventure, you know. I thought my trips were adventure. This guy was something else, you know. But it took him 3 journeys of coming and going back, starting again. You know, I just went right through and kind of dropped right into my Dharma scene, you know. And I think sometimes when it's a little harder, you know, it doesn't come so easy. And I say that about the practice, you know. I think I had it fairly easy. At least at the beginning I had it easy, and then it wasn't so easy, you know. But when it's not so easy, it's something about how we learn, you know. And, you know, after he's been in robes for 30 years, and so there's a lot of respect for him for, you know, he stayed. I was always just a Dharma bum, just a gypsy boy, you know. But I had a lot of respect for every time I would go down to the dining room and stuff, and I would see him. You know, it wasn't delight. I had such joy in his renunciation, you know, and how he had kind of left the world, and you know, it's interesting because the word joy, when you've had that little, you start teaching yourself about this is not about teaching you something. This is really, in a sense, the deconstruction process. It's teaching you about when it's not, you know, and there's that space. And we're a little, at first, we're kind of apprehensive, a little afraid of no space. But then when you start to see the comfort that exists in no space, you know, and I don't mean that kind, I mean having a break for a moment. And that suddenly starts to become your, you know, it's really a sense about values. And the value is more based on this this moment, and this is always tricky in Buddhist language, a moment of emptiness, you know. It's just a moment of nothing, you know, happening. So it's kind of a blank there for a moment. And you begin to see that, oh, this is what can affect. Instead of, we've always thought, that, oh, it had to be a something that affected us. Well, in this case, it's about a nothing that affects us, that then gives us the space to actually begin this really process of non-struggle. And the non-struggle has one of its principles is because it's not caught up in this tight mandala, but just being with itself in the center, it has a tremendous amount of, you know, well, the word delight, but also the word joy, you know, that we go, oh, you know, and it's how you learn to love the Dharma, you know. And the problem is, you know, once you recognize, then you're hooked. So, you know, for Gil Knight, our jobs are forever. You know that, you know, because once you get this, it is suddenly one begins to say, oh, you know, it's not so easy. I find it a lot in the world, but it's not as easy as it is coming to retreat and kind of creating the conditions, which really this is all about, the conditions where these hindrances kind of, they move out, and all, and it's somewhat the storytelling, you know, we're awfully hooked on these things, but it moves out a little. And then there's a space, you know, and that space then, when there's enough wherewithal to let go, to release, then we start going, oh, this is what this is about, you know? And it's so funny because you would think it was about something, but what I'm trying to say, it's about nothing, you know? But the nothing, you know, in some ways is identified as a feeling, you know, as a feeling, and the feeling is release. And release is something that when we learn to work with it over and over again, then it has certain components. And one of those components is, when it's not there, is the light. When it kind of steadies itself, then there is this, you know, and I want to qualify this, because the light is kind of, to me, is somehow when things aren't. But when you use the word joy, joy is actually a kinesthetic, a body feeling that you know, it's not so much sensual as it is indicative of a sometimes I think it has to be almost, and this may not be understandable, but it's like a whole body feeling, you know, that the whole body itself is not fighting or struggling, and it's kind of settled, and it has an inherent joy in it, like, oh, you know, here I've been running around causing myself all kinds of difficulties, and here I kind of sit down and shut up and let it all settle out. And there is this simple kinesthetic. It's actually a body feeling, you know. And the mind its only job is actually to feel it, to feel being here, you know. And with that simple feeling, you know, if I can say, the heart flutters. It's like, oh, you know, I know this, you know. And it wasn't a something, you know. It was simply, in this case, the absence of, you know, these hindrances, the absence of wanting or longing or not enoughness, you know. It was simply there as a component, you know. And the component says, okay, you know, I might do this a little more. Not bad stuff, you know. So I was going to say, you just got to get over yourself, you know? No, truly, you know, because that is that those pieces of identification are, they kind of, they're the things that come in and kind of entrap you and then support the hindrances in some way, you know? And you don't need that. You have done this for so long. You know, you've been wrestling with these things. And to get really quiet and recognize that you do have the simple capacity to learn to, you know, to touch. Touch, you know, this simple word, stillness. You know, and then if you touch that stillness, then simply, for me, you know, then the part about judgment, the part about my heart, it simply is concerned. It's kind of go, oh, you know, I'm not so concerned about myself. You know, I actually kind of feel no longer the contraction of kind of self-identity, but this really space. The space, you know, at first it cares for itself. You know, you are a reflection of all beings. You know, you are not different, even if you want to think so, you know. And when that reflection is there, you know, and you really, with that delight and that joy, you really care. You love yourself. You know, oh, I'm actually a worthy person. You know, and not only am I a worthy person, then if I'm worthy, then everything I come in contact with is worthy. You know. How's that? Okay. Ultimate ease. High on this mountainside of self, a river of ice, being slowly melted by this calm and centered attention. Rocks and boulders captured, frozen by time, habits, fears, desires. This practiced over and over again. Ice to water, water to flowing, flowing to ease, ease to utter clarity. This flow has no reference point. A mind released sits as a simple awareness, knowing this centerless center as it flows towards its own destiny. We came knowing that a frozen heart, a contracted mind, has no peace in a changing world, so we surrender over and over and over again. This small glimpse, delight and joy, surely, surely you have found it. It's already here. So let's just sit for a moment.
Thank you.